It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
All right, welcome back to Davin's Den. I felt like, I don't know, it sounded like a smoky vibe. Smoky vibe, that's what I felt like doing. All right. A long first segment where we really had nothing planned. And some would say we really accomplished nothing. I guess there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. Not in our worlds, but there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. So.
That's what kept us busy.
And Pip will be a lamb and not only give me title ideas, but she will also give me a summary of what the fuck we talked about in portion one. That's what Pip will do. So I know she's Yes, what you will do. I know you're giving the googly eyes, but I know you will do that. Thank you, Pip.
Okay.
Thank you, Pip, in advance for covering the topic so I have a good description. I appreciate your effort as always.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my.
And now we'll do some comics in the news.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
All right, Nick Cannon. Are you guys familiar with Nick Cannon?
Yeah.
All right. Nick Cannon's hateful speech and anti-Semitic theories led Viacom-CBS to cut ties with the TV host and producer. The media giant said Viacom-CBS condemns bigotry of any kind and we categorically denounce all forms of anti-Semitism. The company said in a statement it is terminating its relationship with Cannon, Viacom-CBS said. The company's move was in response to remarks made by Cannon on a podcast in which he and Richard Professor Griffith, the former Public Enemy member, discussed racial bias. The podcast reportedly was filmed last year and aired 2 weeks ago. Well, you want to sit on it because you want to make sure that you really let comments that are going to get you fired marinate and then release it. That's what you really want to do. When you have that year's time, you don't want to say, you know what, let's not release it. You want to wait a year with that shit. That's what you want to do.
Because and this is the perfect time.
Yes.
Nobody's very sensitive right now.
No, no.
Nobody.
Everybody's letting everything roll right off their backs. What a perfect... Nobody has time to listen to shit right now. Everybody's out and about so busy. This will be the perfect time to sneak this out there.
Everybody's busy. Nobody's just sitting around waiting for something to pounce on.
Hey, DeSean Jackson.
Everybody's just Jimmy Buffett, you know?
It worked out really well for DeSean Jackson and Steven Jackson. Let's go with it. Now's the time.
Yeah.
Let's see. We have spoken with Nick Cannon and about an episode of his podcast, Cannon's Class, on YouTube. All right, you know, this guy's on every fucking station. He banged Mariah Carey. He's got to have a YouTube channel, too? What a fucking whore. Can't you have any fucking quiet time? Can't you just have some shit for yourself? You got to be on YouTube, too, you motherfucker? Every...
Don't you just want to sit quietly and read a fucking book?
It would have helped. You know what? Some reading would have helped this guy. May I recommend some stuff by Elie Wiesel? May I recommend some of that stuff? Just fucking read, you dumb motherfucker. You know what? America doesn't have enough Nick Cannon. Let's get them one more place where they can get Nick Cannon. Two TV shows.
It used to be Ryan Seacrest was fucking every place, but he was so milquetoast he was, you know, not bothering anybody. Now this shit. Oops.
Yeah, that's the thing about Ryan Seacrest. Say what you want about him, but he never went on an anti-Semitic rant.
No.
But Nick Cannon says, let me add this to the resume, because my shit's going too well. Let me fuck some shit up, because America loves me. After I got dumped by Mariah Carey, it fucking helped, but enough of that.
You know what? I think that Mariah Carey drove me crazy with those whistle notes that she used to do.
Oh, God.
You know, like, there were secret messages in there that drove him fucking nuts.
It was anti-Semitic rants. That's what those high notes were.
That's what they were.
We don't care about your anti-Semitic comments. We want to hear about Mariah Carey's tits.
Sure. That'd be a good podcast. You know what? And you know what? Be a team player. We'll include Mariah Carey's tits for a spin the president around night. You know, before we let you do the press conference.
Yeah.
I recognize these tits. Excellent tits. Best tits. Mariah's tits. I smell booze. It must be Mariah. Anyway, I digress. While we support ongoing education and dialogue in the fight against bigotry, we are deeply troubled that Nick had failed to acknowledge or apologize for perpetuating anti-Semitism, and we are terminating our relationship with him. Cannon produced Wild and Out, a comedy improv series for VH1, a Viacom CBS-owned cable channel. He's been a regular part of TV shows unconnected to the company, including as the former host of NBC's America's Got Talent and current host of Fox's The Masked Singer. There was no immediate response to request for comment made to a representative for Cannon to him through his website. Here is some of what Cannon said on his podcast. When you'd have a person that has the lack of pigment, the lack of melanin, that they know that they will be annihilated, Cannon said. So therefore, however they got the power, they have the lack of compassion that melanin comes with. Compassion. Let me just stop right here. This is similar to the same type of shit that you hear white supremacists spout against black people on some random YouTube thing or podcast or fucking blog. This is the type of batshit crazy Nick Cannon is spouting that is usually reserved for the white supremacists. But Nick Cannon says, "Nay, nay, I can be equally ignorant. Let's not leave it to the dumb white motherfuckers. Let me spout some stupidity."
I could be ignorant too, you know.
I could be ignorant.
Let me show you.
I could be ignorant. You know what America needs? Another black guy out of work. That's what America needs, and Nick Cannon delivered.
Apparently, I am the most unempathetic person on the planet, then.
That goes without saying, Miss Translucent.
I know.
You unsympathetic bitch, you.
I hate you all. Go on.
But in your defense, there's nothing you could do about it. It's based on your skin color. So what are you going to do?
Sorry.
Okay. So the people that don't have it are a little, I'm going to say this carefully, are a little less. That was careful, by the way.
And
where the term actually comes from is because I'm bringing it all the way back around to Minister Farrakhan. Oh, all right. You know, Minister Farrakhan, I know it's going to be good now. Cannon, then.
That's always a good start to a conversation.
Cannon then referred to non-melanated people as savages. Again, this is the white supremacist shit that they say about black people. How often do you hear white supremacist racist motherfuckers call black people savages? You dumb motherfucker, Nick Cannon. Do you not understand? You're doing the same shit. You are now part of the problem. And clarify that he was speaking about Jewish people and white people, Europeans, and Illuminati. You know, often I say, you know, let's lump the Jews and the Illuminati in together. The Illuminati does not get the attention they fucking need. Remember when Hitler rounded up the Illuminati? No, me neither. Anyway.
And also when you say the Illuminati don't get the attention, they never wanted their attention.
They're just running shit.
Their whole gig is not attention.
Yes. So he continues. Because why would we interrupt such words of wisdom? So then, these people who didn't have what we had, and when I say we, I speak of the melanated people. I feel like melanated to me like sounds caffeinated or decaffeinated. Like all
right,
the people,
right, yeah.
The melanated ones, the ones who got the Frappuccinos.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'll take my people non-melanated, thank you.
They had
to cut down.
I speak of the melanated people. They had to be savages, Cannon continued. They had to be barbaric because they are in these Nordic mountains. They're in these rough, torrential environments. So they're acting as animals. So they're the ones that are actually closer to animals. They're the ones that are actually the true savages. Again, he says this shit and doesn't think there's going to be a problem. He says, you know what? Let me sit on this for a year and review. Yeah, let's go with this. What the world needs now is more content, and this is going to scratch them right in their savage itch. So he continues. So I say all that to say the context. And when we speak of whether it's whether it's Jewish people, white people, Europeans, the Illuminati, they were doing that as a survival tactic to stay on this planet. We never had to do that. Really? Really? Because if you kind of look what Black Lives Matter is, it's like, just let us survive, Nick. Just let us survive. We just want to exist. Stop exterminating us. Nick, if you fucking pay attention to what your people are fighting for, they're fighting to survive on this planet, Nick. Maybe your spoiled ass didn't have to fight for it, but a lot of your brothers and sisters had to fucking fight for what you're saying they didn't have to fight for. Is he that fucking ignorant?
I guess he is.
What a spoiled motherfucker. Anyway.
It is pretty unbelievable.
So he continues. It's never hate speech. You can't be anti-Semitic when we are the Semitic people. Cannon said, "When we are the same people who they want to be, that's our birthright. We are the true Hebrews. No, we want you for your fucking music and your beautiful women with the big asses. That's why we want you. That's what we fucking want, Nick. We're not good musically. I mean, we can write fucking show tunes, Nick. Come to the Jews for the show tunes. But when you have to have rhythm and beats, yes, we're going to the black people. But it's not about survival, Nick. And yes, we like your women. They got those luscious big asses. That's why, Nick. That's why, Nick." We want a black woman to put a nice Jewish boy in his place. That's what we want, Nick. But it's not about survival on the planet.
There's videos out there. You can find them.
Sure. Viacom, CBS.
I thought it was sports stats we wanted them for.
Well, yeah, that's it. Viacom CBS's action came as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the basketball great and writer, condemned several sports and entertainment celebrities for anti-Semitic tweets and posts, and what he called a shocking lack of indignation in response. This was in the Hollywood Reporter. Basically, what Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was saying, and I read the article, is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said, what black people have to understand is, if you're promoting anti-Semitism, it doesn't help your cause either. Because bigotry anywhere, discrimination isn't anywhere. We all have to be equal. That's what we're fighting for. You're making the problem worse. We can't be tearing each other apart. That's basically what...
Right.
I don't know if you've ever heard Kareem or read Kareem. Very thoughtful man. He's... I read his first biography that he wrote. I think it was his first one. You know, he used to be very Islamic. He tells you about that as Muslim, how he converted to Islam and everything. But he's a deep guy. I mean, he's not what you think of, a stereotypical jock, dumb mouth breather. He's not that guy. If you read Kareem, he's very intellectual, I will say. I don't want to say well-spoken because that sounds racist. I'm not trying to be that way. But Kareem is just a very intelligent human being that deserves ears and eyes to pay attention to, unlike apparently fucking Nick Cannon. Anyway.
That's really interesting. I had no idea about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but thank you for saying that, because I'd like to see what he has to say.
I love him
in
Airplane. I love him when he's in Airplane.
And there's that. Thank you, Joe.
Well, I'm not taking away from him. No, he's a very deep guy, but I
great comedic chops.
You know,
if you're going to describe Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, if you're describing Kareem, you're definitely going with great comedic chops. That's definitely on the top of the list.
Oh, God, he was...
One with Walton and Bird all night long.
Oh, God, it was terrible.
That is great that he said that. And, basically, I mean, you know, the African-American community was that, well... I mean, you were put in ships and brought here, but, you know, the Jews were also put in boxcars and brought to concentration camps. So to sit there and to say that...
By the way, you just said the worst game of Trains, Planes, and Automobiles fucking ever, by the way.
That would be the worst version of the movie.
But speaking of trains, Kanye, what do you think about Harriet Tubman? Oh, wait, that's right. She wasn't freeing slaves. She was giving them to be slaves to other white people. Thank you, Kanye. Go back in your corner, you.
Oh, God.
Where did he get the reasoning from?
He's Kanye West. He needs no reasoning. He's a genius, you dumb motherfucker. Behold the brilliance. Can't believe you'd ask me
I think that was the press release following that up.
I can't. Anyway,
apparently Harriet Tubman's like great great granddaughter or something came out and said, "Yeah, you know, without my ancestor, Kanye West would be working on somebody's plantation." So shut the fuck up.
To which Kanye said, "Nay, nay, my father wanted to abort me."
God, yeah, wow.
And furthermore, I wanted to abort my firstborn.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Dad. Wait until Hallmark writes that fucking Father's Day card.
Wait, this bulletproof vest that I'm wearing for no reason doesn't protect me from the evil looks Kim's giving me? I don't understand.
Dear Dad, thanks for not aborting me. Happy Father's Day. Love, North. Jesus Christ.
And the funny thing is, I was listening to the radio yesterday when he was talking about his thoughts on Harriet Tubman and also on the abortion comments. And I'm sitting there going, gee whiz, I would have loved to get my pictures of my face at each segment of that, of the shock on my face. Is it stupid?
Right.
Is it insane? Is it a little bit of potpourri of it all?
It's a lot. It's all of it.
Listen, I obviously I don't know Kanye West. I don't know, but it's not good. Whatever it is, it's really not scratching anybody where they itch right now either.
No.
All right.
No.
You know what? We have a celebrity president. I think what Kanye's saying, see, it could be worse. You think you're the celebrity you got now is batshit crazy. Wait till I get in the Oval Office. You ain't seen nothing yet, motherfuckers.
Yeah, right? Let me step this up. Let me kick it up a notch. Jesus.
God, remember when we used to have, like, C-list celebrities that actually run shit like Ronald Reagan until he had dementia? Remember when we had shit like that? Now we have A-list celebrities. Well, not Trump, but Kanye's an A-list celebrity that just runs his fucking mouth.
Yeah.
I know. And shut up.
And you feel bad for him. He must have, like, a lot of yes men around him.
No.
Going, oh, that was
no. I'm sure Kanye's getting, besides from Kim, I'm sure Kanye is getting a lot of, do you really want to say that? Maybe we should slow this down. I'm sure he's getting a lot of that. Anyway.
Maybe Nick Cannon has yes men around him. I mean, he's saying just the nuttiest shit.
I'll tell you what he doesn't have around him, a Jewish fucking lawyer right now. Anyway, let's move on. As controversy over his remarks began to bubble up Monday, Cannon replied in a Facebook post, "Anyone who knows me knows that I have no hate in my heart, nor malice intentions, or brains in my head." No, he didn't say that. "I do not condone that the hate speech nor the threat or spread of hateful rhetoric. We are living in a time when it's more important than ever to promote unity and understanding." Really, motherfucker? "Until then, I hold myself accountable for this moment and take full responsibility, because my intentions are only to show that as a beautiful human species, we have way more commonalities than differences. So let's embrace those as each other. We all family." Really? That's a little different than the fucking YouTube video you had to release, you dumb motherfucker.
Let me tell you something. I wish I had people writing, like, apologies for me.
You need it.
I'd still be married. You know, I get up there. I realize that when I wake up and there's groceries there and I yell, "Bitch, this isn't wall bombs," maybe I'm out of line. Maybe it's like...
All right, so there's a job opening. We get it. All right, let's move on. Late on Tuesday and well into the early hours of Wednesday, the host began retweeting scores of messages of support from fans, some of whom condemned Viacom-CBS for severing ties with Cannon and expressed concern for the future of long-running MTV sketch comedy series Wildin' Out, which Cannon has hosted since its 2005 debut and recent expansion to sister network VH1. Cannon also retweeted a number of his critics who called him the N-word. He later issued a lengthy statement on Facebook demanding an apology from Viacom-CBS as well as full ownership of Wildin' Out. The host has had a relationship with Viacom since he was an actor on Nickelodeon in the 90s and into the 2000s with Wildin' Out. More recently, he's been known as the host of Masked Singer and Fox-hosted America's Got Talent on NBC from 2009 to 2016. He's also launching a syndicated daytime talk show in September, which has been pushed back. Moving forward, Fox announced its decision to keep Nick Cannon as host of The Masked Singer after he issued an apology for his recent anti-Semitic remarks. When we were made aware of Nick Cannon's interview with Richard Griffin, by the way, Richard Griffin was kicked out of Public Enemy for anti-Semitism. Public fight. He got kicked out of Public Enemy. We're not talking about the Miami Boys Choir here. Public fucking Enemy. Public Enemy said, "Slow down. It's a little much." Public fucking Enemy.
Don't you wish the clubs were still open where you could run to the club and go on that and do that bit?
Yes.
Did you know that was still?
Yes. Yes.
Well, now I think I should write it down. Anyway. We immediately began a dialogue with Nick. He is clear and remorseful that his words were wrong and lack both understanding and context, and it inadvertently promoted hate. "This was important for us to observe," the network said in a statement to Us Weekly on Wednesday, July 15th. Nick has sincerely apologized and quickly taken steps to educate himself and make amends. On that basis, and given a belief that this moment calls for dialogue, we'll move forward with Nick and help him advance this important conversation broadly. Fox condemns all forms of hate directed toward any community and will combat bigotry of any kind, except on Fox News, where that shit bubbles up sometimes. But I digress. Fox released its statement minutes after Cannon reversed course and apologized for his comments. He responded to the backlash twice in the days that followed, but did not apologize until Wednesday evening. Well, he likes to sit on things. We learned that. I'm surprised the apology didn't come out a year later. First and foremost, I extend my deepest and most sincere apologies to my Jewish sisters and brothers for the hurtful and divisive words that came out of my mouth during my interview with Richard Griffin, he said in a statement to us. They reinforced the worst stereotypes of a proud and magnificent people. And I feel ashamed of the uninformed and naive place that these words came from. Your mouth, stupid! Your mouth! That was the naive and uninformed place they came from.
You know, I love when you get the prepared statement. Of all the stuff, how could you say all that stuff and go, nobody's gonna, the Jewish community won't get upset about this. Why would they? And then you go, I found my words hurtful. No, when you spoke them, you should know they're hurtful. And the way things are now, where you see when people say things and their career is destroyed, and this is not like it's just starting. It's been like a runaway train where people's careers are going to be destroyed. You say stuff like that, especially with every gig that you have, three mainstream gigs, and you don't have the common sense to think about what you're saying, or at least you should fire your handlers, because your handlers are nothing but a bunch of yes people, you know? Because if you're a handler, you're going to go, you're not saying, are you out of your mind?
Are we at the place where we need handlers to tell us don't say bigoted shit? Are we at that place, America? Can we not do that ourselves?
If you are in a place where you have all this stuff and you have this much celebrity, where you have a lot of fans and you feel if you pontificate stuff, people will fall all over yourself to hear it, you might be that blindsided and out of reality that you don't get it. And if your handlers are hearing this stuff, you know, you go, you can't say this shit. You know, I'm just, I don't care who you got. You're going to be living in a box by the river if you say this.
After confirming that the interview, which was part of his Cannon's Class podcast, has been removed from YouTube, Cannon said he has had at least a minor history lesson over the past few days, and to say that it is eye-opening would be a vast understatement. He added, I want to express my gratitude to the rabbis, community leaders, institutions who reached out to me to help enlighten me instead of chastising me. I want to ensure my Jewish friends, new and old, that this is only the beginning of my education. I am committed to deeper connections, more profound learning, strengthening the bond between our two cultures today and every day going forward. Oh, my God. Okay.
Another thing I want to point out, I had a minor history lesson. Everybody that's gone to school in history has discussed World War II. And then we discussed the Holocaust. And then we see the movie where the teacher goes, look, you're going to see a lot of heavy-duty stuff here. If you feel uncomfortable, you might want to step out. And we've all sat there and we watched the horrors of the Holocaust. Every high school kid has sat through that in history. How can he go, well, after a minor history lesson? It wasn't a minor history lesson. It was a big part of your curriculum when you were in high school.
You know, I don't remember if it was part of my curriculum in high school. I think it was, but you know, the education is different wherever you go. We've talked about how we were obviously not taught a lot about black history, because we quickly learned what Juneteenth was and the massacre of Black Wall Street, which we were not taught in school. So I don't know. That being said, the man's 39 years old. The man is a media mogul. I mean, what, don't you have to have a little common sense? You're not Motley fucking Crue, who's out there drinking and banging strippers every night, and you're partying like a badass. You can do that, but your brand is wholesome. You're the accessible black guy. You're the new Bill Cosby without the date rape shit. That's what you are. You're the accessible black guy that white America feels comfortable with. That's what you are,
but
Nick.
If you're that stupid, I mean, he's an industry.
Yes.
That if he doesn't have the brains, the handlers would have the brains.
Well, I don't know. I know people like, you know, a lot of people, especially in our circles, they're sick of the cancel culture. I got to be honest with you. I think Viacom did the right thing. I mean, it takes him forever to come out with an apology. I don't believe he's sorry at all. I believe this is what your pal would call one of these phony apologies. Like they're making me apologize. You know what?
It absolutely is. I mean, it reeks of bullshit.
Yeah, like we talked about Deshaun Jackson last week and his apology, and I said, you know what? I'm going to take Deshaun at his word. He's meeting with people. You know, he came from the mean streets. He's a ball player. He doesn't have the savvy. I'm going to give Deshaun a pass and think maybe he gets it now. I think Nick Cannon's like, fuck, I'm going to lose my other gig too. I'm going to lose my other gig that I currently have and the talk show that I have in the works. Let me make this right. Screw you, Griff from fucking Public Enemy. We'll do our racist shit on the down low.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Because, you know, once you realize that you're going to be losing your major gig, even if he's got a whole bunch of yes men, even if he's got a whole bunch of yes men around him, and the thing is that they're not going to corral him because yes men are yes men all the way through. You know, oh, don't worry about it. You don't have to say sorry. You were just speaking your truth, man. Just keep going. They're not going to try to, like, protect him from himself. And you know what? Yeah. Right?
By the way, Pip,
If their job is to, you know, keep his career going, and if you're seeing him about to sabotage it, if they knew about that and didn't, I mean, they screwed up. I mean,
yeah.
What he said was stupid.
Listen, I think Fox should have fired him too. I think it's a bullshit apology. If he would have came out immediately, maybe I would have believed it, but no, what does he come out and immediately do? He fucking rants about Viacom and how he feels he got screwed out of ownership a while now. Now, he may have been screwed out of ownership, but that's a separate issue right now. Now's not the time, Nick. We can fight in court about ownership later.
We're also in a time in our country where even if you are a celebrity and you make a comment, I mean, what he said was, you know, reprehensible. There's no debate about that. But even if you're a celebrity and you make a slight comment about something, you know, you could lose your career. So everybody's minding their P's and Q's. I mean, everything is getting out of hand.
Listen, man, let's be honest. Shane Gillis, who did I think it was like an awful Asian accent when talking about restaurants on a podcast when he was an unknown comic, lost his gig on Saturday Night Live because that came out. That, to me, and I understood why NBC did it, they had to do it, I'm not saying I agree, I understood. That, to me, is not as bad as this. That I mean...
No.
So, and I gotta be honest with you.
But that should be a signal to a celebrity where, and it's, you know, it's a point now where, as a celebrity or anybody, your right to free speech is being curtailed.
No, you have free speech. You have free speech. You're just not free of consequences, which none of us are.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So you have to. You're absolutely right. Isolate that. With that in mind, you, as a celebrity, as somebody in a position of business, you have to watch what you say. You might not like it. You might feel that your freedoms are being, you know, impeded. But you want to know something? The bank wants the mortgage money on the 50. And you're, no matter if you're a celebrity, you sweep floors or whatever, your job is to get that dough there on the 15th. And your job is key. And, you know, nothing can infringe on that. So if you have to, you know, say that you just like vanilla wafers, they're delicious, and that's all you know, then fine.
But this
should be in the public eye the way he is. And after seeing everything that's happened to celebrities that have said things, to go out and say that, you can't be that fucking stupid.
This wasn't even a major story. Like this wasn't a big deal. I feel, honestly, and I'm the last guy to usually do this, but I feel if it was a white person that said this, if Ryan Seacrest, to use Pip's example, said this about Jews or somebody, this would be a much bigger fucking deal. Like, Nick Cannon's getting a pass. And I feel if derogatory, let's say Seacrest said something against black people, oh my God, he would have lost every gig, and justifiably so. I think Cannon got off easy here, to be honest.
He got off easy because basically, African Americans went through their struggles just as the Jews did. So it's somebody in that position making a comment, a stupid comment, about another group of people that were in that position.
I just think...
You can't say that. You get hung out because you never felt depression like that as a white person.
You know, I feel when it's ever the Jews, though, you know, people just let it go a little bit more. I say, oh, it's the Jews. It's okay.
Let's go back to your previous comment. As a black person saying that, or as a white person saying that?
I feel in both cases, it's allowed to be more than if it was like against a black person or an Asian person or a gay person.
I think the severity of a white person would be a lot more.
No, it would be worse if a white person said it in people's eyes. But my point is, if you're gonna go after a minority and you want the least blowback, Jews are your best bet. That's all I'm saying.
It's very interesting where, you know, Nick Cannon says that, and he's not known for saying crazy shit. Where Kanye, if he said that, well, it's another day at the office.
Right. You know? That's what I'm saying. If I'm Viacom and Fox, I gotta fire this guy. I mean, even on Wild and Out, which is a very entertaining show. It's very funny. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it. And that's more the dozens. That's more improv version of the dozens. But even that, where Nick is at his quote unquote most threatening, he's not threatening at all. He's been branded. I don't know him personally, but he's been branded and marketed and formed.
Surprise! You're running those circles.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. He's been sold. As the black guy that can date your daughter, that you're okay with, white America. That's what he's been sold as. So when he does something like this, you just ruin the brand, stupid. And like you said, if it's Kanye, you go, all right, it's another day at the office. Kanye's saying ridiculous shit. But it's Nick Cannon, go, no, motherfucker, you're ruining everything.
You're ruining Zombo.
You ruined Zombo.
You ruined Zombo.
All right, let's do some turbulent air. Let's do that.
This is your captain speaking. If you look to your right, you'll see a beautiful, serene river. If you look to your left, majestic mountains. Uh-oh, straight ahead, it seems like we have a big black cloud. We're going to need you to fasten your seatbelts, folks, because it looks like we're in for a turbulent flight.
All right. U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley, a Democrat from Oregon. Well, Oregon's just always in the fucking news these days. Blasted American Airlines for rolling back coronavirus restrictions in a tweet Thursday, asking the company, how many Americans will die because you fill middle seats with your customers shoulder to shoulder, hour after hour? This is incredibly irresponsible. People eat and drink on planes and must take off masks to do so. No way you aren't facilitating a spread of COVID infections. Merkley, 63, joined the CDC and other public officials in condemning American, which began booking full flights Wednesday, despite the U.S. announcing a record high 50,000 new COVID-19 cases, and we've had more than 70,000 at times. United Airlines and Spirit Airlines, among others, are also filling flights. A Democratic, so he wants to introduce a bill to ban the sale of middle seats on airplanes for the duration of coronavirus pandemic after he took the credit flight. This is incredibly irresponsible. So anyway, the day after he said that he would take action, I will introduce a bill to ban the sale of middle seats through this pandemic, and I'll work with colleagues to include it in a package of airline accountability reforms they are crafting. American Airlines did not appear to respond to Merkley's accusation, but responded to several Twitter users who had posted about Merkley's criticism, writing, "We've implemented many layers of protection, including enhanced cleaning and requiring face coverings." American Airlines ended its practice of blocking off seats to promote social distancing on flights on Wednesday and started booking planes to capacity again. Other airlines, including United and Spirit, also said they would phase out the practice. Frontier Airlines said it would charge passengers for an empty middle seat next to them before backing away from the plan, and after it was accused of exploiting consumers' fears for profit. Southwest and Delta have committed to leaving middle seats open through September 30th. Are you seeing what I'm seeing, Joe?
Yes, I know.
It's me.
It's double pip. One is enough.
Hey, quit horsing around. All we see is your name.
That's the best.
I'm just trying to get back on. Sorry.
Fucking moron over there. New computer, same antics. Anyway.
Oh, God. Sorry.
Probably we're watching the Pip Healer show.
Sorry.
It's a fine show. Now, I will say this before we continue this discussion. I was watching a doctor today. We're talking about the opening of schools, and he said, actually, the thing with the airplanes now is they can pump fresh air in every 5 minutes. So he feels, as far as spreading COVID-19, the planes are probably safer than schools right now. That being said, listen, man, we bail out the airlines time after time. How much money have we given the airlines? I think we can legislate them for the time being, don't sell the middle seat, because you have to take off your mask to eat and drink. You're ass to elbow next to somebody, they fucking lean over, they drool on you and shit. Leave the middle seat open.
I agree with that. As a matter of fact, they should be. It should be also obviously the CDC and the FAA should have a hand in the matter as well. You know, I mean, it's still very close quarters, and you're in a and they refresh the air. That's nice, but I still think it's a little bit risky. Basically, it's a consideration of having the plane, you know, having the planes. If you can't, you know, have the middle aisles empty, separate the planes till everything gets, and you got to wear a mask when you get on the plane. The airlines will go, well, we're losing money on it, but we gave you money, okay? We gave you federal loans, okay? So as the CDC and the FAA, we're telling you that the fucking plane is going to have the middle aisles open, okay? Or we want the money back.
Well, Joe, it's interesting. It's interesting, and I agree with everything you just said. But the Trump administration will not let the CDC and the FAA do these things. All they're allowed to do is offer guidelines, where in past administrations, you might have seen the FAA say something like this and actually make it so they couldn't do this. Trump's not letting them do that right now. So that's under Biden, you might get those regulations you want.
As a consumer, then you know, fly at your own risk. I mean, if these airlines are not doing it, then you fly another.
But unfortunately, some people can't fly. Some people don't have a choice. Some people have to still fly for work and everything. It's ridiculous. You know what? It'd be one thing if we weren't giving them all this fucking money, which we always bail out these airlines. But we, as taxpayers, have invested in the airline. You're not doing enough. You're not doing enough.
But what the odd thing is, the airlines are usually not scumbags.
Funny. Oh, funny.
Wait, what?
Reasonable. I mean, I think $50 for a bag fee is more than fair. I think flying in coach and then getting a snack box that looks like you're out of food on a hike. You have more food left in the bottom of your knapsack than what they fucking give you. And for $15, I think that's more than fair. You know, you're not talking about, especially America. They're the biggest pricks in the fucking business.
So we all agree.
I thought for a second you were being in earnest that they're not scumbags. I'm like, what happened to Joe?
Joe's a very good actor. Do we all agree with this?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
It should be mandated.
By the way, it's going to be a very fucking long show because some people would not let the host get out of segment one at a fucking decent time. But I won't say who those people.
I don't understand who you're talking about.
No, I know you wouldn't.
But some people like to help the show out and have intelligent current conversation about politics.
Well, when are we going to do that?
Serious,
when are we going to do that? Who's coming on the show? I'm intrigued.
when you have two people that are passionate about politics on both sides of the aisle and we get to discuss it intelligently without yelling, yeah.
Again, who are these people? I would love to see that show. I can't wait. Let me know when that show's on, Joe.
Look at the recap for the first hour.
Well, Pip's working on it. Thank you. Pip's hard at work.
We're going to call tonight and this morning show.
Yeah, well, it might be. It's a long show tonight, but hey. All right, let's talk about an Ohio sheriff. I'm going to play a clip of him speaking. His name is Sheriff Richard Jones, and he's talking about not enforcing the mask mandate, the executive order that Republican Governor of Ohio DeWine implemented. This is him speaking on that topic.
How's everybody doing today? I'm the Butler County Sheriff, Rick Jones. I'm here today with our phone. We're getting calls. We're getting emails, we're getting texts. The governor has, I believe, he's just completed the mandatory mask wearing for Butler County, several of the counties in the state of Ohio. It's going to be mandatory, the mask wearing. And I'm here to, we don't have the orders, what he's put out yet, but I can tell you this, that I want to make sure everybody understands, I am not the mask police. I am not going to enforce any mask wearing. That is not my responsibility. That is not my job. People should be able to make that choice themselves. I didn't put this order out, and it's getting to the point. People are scared. People are calling and asking, do we have to wear the mask in our house, in our cars? It's getting kind of ridiculous at this point. But I believe, as the sheriff in Butler County here in Ohio, the economy's starting to try to get back to where it was. You can't go to restaurants. At one time, you were looked down on if you tried to go to church, and the churches were closed, and it's totally out of control. It should be left up to the individual if they want to wear a mask. If someone's sick, I can understand the mask wearing, but for all of us to have your temperature taken, to have to wear a mask, where is it going to stop? I've checked with some people that I know that work in the hospitals, the hospital staffs. Most hospitals in Ohio have laid people off because of this. They've laid people off. You go to the emergency room, you have to wait longer. There's people that are still not working because of it. And this makes it harder to wear these masks, and for everyday citizens that aren't sick and have no symptoms to have to wear a mask. I'm not a scientist, but I want you to know that the police are busy. Our budgets have been cut. The fire departments, everybody has less just in the past few months. This does not make it better. What you have is don't call 911 because someone is not wearing a mask. If the health departments want to control and take care of who's not wearing a mask, let them put a little yellow light on their car and they can stop people and go in. They will not like the response. People are tired. They're wore out. I think we could have done this in a different way. But make no mistake about it, I, as the Butler County Sheriff, am not enforcing any mask wearing whatsoever to the public. And my deputies will not enforce it. We've got more important things to do. It's all we can do to keep up with fighting crime, locking people up, and making sure they're safe and the employees are safe.
But he also, he did an interview with CNN's Brianna Keeler on Wednesday. He said he wears a mask himself, and he's good with that. But the president, President Trump's supporting sheriff insisted, "I'm not going to be the mask police." The mask police! DeWine issued the mandatory mask order for seven counties designated as high risk from the outbreak, including Butler County, on Tuesday. Jones told Keeler that he and many others were confused about the science regarding wearing masks, claiming every week they change. How can you catch COVID-19? No, they don't change it every week, stupid. I wear a mask, but I'm the Lone Ranger. But we shouldn't have our government demand that we wear a mask, that we can't work, that the economy shut down, Jones continued. What's with these laws? You want me to enforce it? Who do you think I am, the cops? When this is all over and the studies come out, there will be more people who have died from not being able to go to the hospital without being able to get medication. This is my opinion because I'm not a scientist, you dumb motherfucker. Keeler pointed out how public health experts believe wearing masks is a relatively inexpensive and easy way to mitigate the risk of contagion. Jones did admit, however, that he may change his mind on enforcing the order if Trump issued a federal mandate, because we can't do shit without our dear leader. Now, as much as I have to say about this, and I want to get Joe's take on this too, I am going to let Pip pontificate quickly, Pip, because she did an excellent blog this week, and I know Pip has some very strong opinions on it, so I will give you the floor, dear.
What the fuck is he talking about? You can't just say, you know what, I'm the police, but I'm only going to take care of the orders that I agree with personally, or that dear leader agrees with personally. This is an order by the governor that you swore an oath to uphold the laws of that state, and saying we're too overworked and overburdened. Yeah, make that point some other time when it's not a pandemic. You know, trying to say that the science is flip-flopping back and forth every week on what to do about masks, really, that's really inaccurate, and it's just a ridiculous thing to claim, especially for somebody who's wearing a mask. It's okay for you to protect yourself and others, but you're not going to enforce the law. I'm not buying it, and I really don't respect his take on this.
Joe, do you have anything to add or detract?
Yes. If and only if he said, I don't have the resources to handle this. I'm going to need more help or the ability to deputize because we don't have the manpower to do this. I need help from the governor. That's one argument. You cannot base your personal opinion on a law when it's your job to enforce it. It's not whatever your opinion is fine, but your opinion is not part of a mandate that was given down by the governor. Your job is to enforce the law. There's a lot of laws out there with cops that they, you know, like with ticket quotas and stuff like that. They think it's bullshit. They're there to enforce the law. Your personal opinion shall not infringe on your duty to enforce the law.
I like how he says people are tired of it. You know what? I'm tired of doing the speed limit too, but apparently I can't drive as I want. I'm tired of fucking driving sober. Sometimes I want to fucking drive drunk. I like to do fucking eights and peel out in the middle of the fucking interstate. Why do you have to press me, man?
People are tired of it.
But it doesn't matter.
Hear me out. It's not your opinion. Your opinion does not override your duty to enforce the law. I'm totally in lockstep with you guys. I'm not going to get
No, I know you are. And here's the thing, man. This guy's a Republican. I remember the day when Republicans wanted small government. So now we have small government, the governor of your state making an executive order. We go, no, I need guidance from the federal government. So you're not a Republican. So now you're a liberal who wants big government. Or you're just confused, or you're just following the cult. Because you really don't have principles, you dumb motherfucker, you. I don't care if you're tired. Joe brings up a valid point. Listen, if you say you need more resources, valid issue. The governor has to get on the phone and go, okay, what can we do? How can we work this? You know, I know up here when we were under lockdown in March, and I don't know if it was due to resources, but the police stopped with the speeding tickets. I did 100 on the three-way. It was magnificent. Now, I don't know.
But I don't know
if it was due to resources or not, but if you're really having resources, the governor could get on the phone and go, listen, we're going to pull back on the speeding right now. We need you to be out in the public, not the mask police, but if you see something, you gotta tell them, they gotta put it on. It's a health crisis. You don't, as Joe said, you don't get to make your own laws. And this goes back to, it's a shame. Just today, 6 months into this stupid pandemic, Trump comes out with masks are effective. If he just could have done this shit on day one, just that statement alone, we could be so much ahead of this. Because for so many people, they are so invested in Donald Trump that what he says goes. If he just would have said that, let alone wear a mask, but if he just would have said that on day one, masks are effective, we need this to fight the pandemic, we wouldn't have jackwagons like this. I will tell you this, and then we move on. First of all, he's not the only law enforcement to do this, and some of them have died afterwards, which is fucking delicious. But I will say this. If I was the governor, I would say, listen, you have a choice. You either enforce this or you resign. And you can't be the party of law and order, Republican, if you don't want to enforce the laws. And you have the right to resign. That's how the Nazis could have gotten out of just following orders. Oh no, I fucking resign.
I wonder if the governor has spoken out against that and told them that.
I have not seen it. I have not seen it.
Sorry? No. Yeah, I don't know.
And like I said, you have a press conference. If you don't like the law, that's not your. You enforce the law that was given down. That's your job. Your opinion has no merit on your job to enforce the law. There's plenty of laws cops have to enforce that they don't want to. You know, tickets are one of them that they have to do, but they have quotas and stuff. It's your job to enforce the law.
Good.
You know, police have to go and keep the peace when Nazis are marching through the town because they have the right to say what they want to say, no matter how repulsive.
Right.
Now, there could be, you know, they don't necessarily have to be Jews to be against the Nazi party, but there could be Jews on the force standing there protecting the Nazis from the crowd that has come to speak out against them.
And now a story for Joe's team. An incoming freshman at Marquette University said the Milwaukee school threatened to cancel her admission after she posted a TikTok video expressing support for President Trump, which is where President Trump wants his support. Definitely on TikTok. And that she and that she's been threatened for it, according to a report.
Don't even let that get past his ears.
Samantha, motherfucking name here.
Yeah.
Samantha
oh God.
Pfefferly. We're going to go with Pfefferly. Shared the video titled, "When the Libs Find Their Way to Your Page," in which she dances along with captions such as, "When people say that I support Trump, then try to hate on me, and think I'll change my views," the College Fix reported. The video, which also features a Trump 2020 flag and a sign that reads Marquette 2024, contains a song by rapper 69's Gooba with lyrics such as, "He's mad, she's mad, big sad, ha ha, don't care, stay mad," according to the student news site. This is a very mature conversation. Pfefferly said some people have threatened her life for the video, which has been watched about 600 times. What is with people fucking threatening lives? Enough.
If they're behind the screen, they're all cops.
Give her a thumbs down and move on. Let's go. I hope you get shot, one user told her, according to the College Fix. "I'd pray for you, but you're not worth it," another person said. You don't even get thoughts and prayers. How do you like them apples? Pfefferly told the news site that she was extremely disappointed by the incendiary comments. "The response from my peers has been repulsive." She said Brian Troyer, the dean of undergraduate admissions, told her that her acceptance was far from sure. "He had the heart to tell me I wasn't a student," Pfefferly told the outlet, adding that she had already paid for housing and has a complete class schedule. "If that doesn't make me a student, what does?" The first time you get fucked up at a fraternity party. Pfefferly told the outlet, adding that she had already paid for housing and has a complete class schedule. If that doesn't...
That makes you a pledge.
What? Yeah.
That makes you a pledge.
"If that doesn't make me a student, what does?" said Pfefferly, who later confirmed that the school finally informed her Monday that it would not revoke her admission. She earlier said some school administrators had asked her questions meant to judge her morals. "They also asked me hypothetical questions regarding dreamers," he said, referring to young undocumented immigrants who arrived as children and are protected from deportation under Obama-era program that Trump wants to end. "How would I respond if a dreamer who lived down the hall from me came up to me and told me she didn't feel safe or comfortable with my views and me being on campus?" Pfefferly told the Fix. "They also asked me if they thought there was anything I could do to improve my image on campus. They proceeded to ask if I was comfortable with the reputation I have established for myself," to which she said, "You ain't seen nothing yet." Now, the assistant dean asked if I put any thought into the response and I'd be getting from my videos. The Jesuit school said in a statement that its admissions decisions are made based on academic achievements and student involvement, not political views, adding that the report that the school might rescind the admission of incoming freshman Samantha Pfefferly is false. Marquette has not rescinded her admissions offer, the statement says. Concerns about this new student that were brought to the university's attention were not based on political affiliation, but on alleged use of discriminatory language. In this case, there was also concerns for the incoming student's safety, which were investigated by the Marquette University Police Department and discussed with incoming student ed. All right, I think for this story, I think somebody's lying, because this is, they both have such different versions on this. But I think for us to discuss this story intelligently, we have to assume that they're both speaking the truth, I think, for us to have a conversation. So,
yeah.
Look, what?
Well, here's the thing. Concerns about the new student that were brought to the university's attention were not based on political affiliation, but on alleged use of discriminatory language in this case. There were concerns on incoming student safety. Now, we basically, it was a he said, she said, but the key thing is, we watched the video, the TikTok video. I saw no threatening language in there at all. Obviously, she's a Trump supporter. So for them to say discriminatory language, I heard not. And it was a silly TikTok video showing she's a Trump supporter. It shows her political affiliation, which they're saying was not a reason in this.
Well, here's some of the baggage that comes along with being a Trump supporter, whether it's wrong or right, just the reality. Because this guy is racist, and he is fucking racist, why not retweet another white supremacist, you dumb motherfucker, you? But because he's racist, it's now assumed that if you support him, you're racist. I'm not saying that's right. That's the assumption. That being said, unless you have video footage of her saying derogatory, racist, or anti-Semitic things,
yes,
you can't be You're defeating the whole purpose of college if you're excluding people with different political views and different and coming from different parts of the world and the country. That's why I always say college is so important, because you learn from each other and you get exposed from each other. You don't have to like her political views. You don't have to agree with it. That's not the gig. Is she racist? Is she saying racist things? No, we have no evidence of that. Does she have good grades? Yes. Okay, then she's in. Stop it.
Yes. Absolutely, and the thing where when you prefaced before our conversation was, well, you know, it's a he said, she said thing, they said, she said thing, but we have the TikTok video there, and there is no discriminatory language. What she was saying was political. However, they said it has no effect on their decision. A political affiliation does not have an effect on whether they're admitted to the college. So that's out. Marquette is saying, well, you know, she's still coming in. Yes, she is, because all she just did was put a stupid TikTok video, which was silly, and it was not offensive.
Now, that being said, a university has to refuse, who has the right to deny anybody they want. It's their right. That being said, I'm saying, this is just my opinion, they should not start denying people based on what team they are for, on which presidential candidate. You're defeating the whole purpose of college.
Right, and you also said they have the right to refuse a person on according to what they want to do, but along their guidelines.
Yeah, well, they don't have to stick to guidelines, but they should. They should. Listen, we all agree that if Marquette did this, they're in the wrong. We all agree.
Yeah.
But really, enough with the white girls with the TikTok videos. Nothing to do with this girl. Enough with that. We get it. All right. Enough.
You should write that into the requirements.
Yes.
Then it's like white girls shouldn't be making dumb TikTok videos. Well, yeah, she's out. Back in kids, scram. Sorry. Have your dad get you. Yeah.
Listen.
If we find you on TikTok at all.
Listen. This young lady wants to own the libs. Okay, is she qualified to go to school? Who the fuck cares? She's 17 or 18. Who the fuck cares what she wants to own, as long as it's not a human being? As long as it's not physically owning another human being, if she's qualified, into school you come. And then we'll try to indoctrinate you. But first you have to get here.
Half of all the great college campuses, and what you brought up before, is political conversation.
Yep.
Conversation on both ends.
I hope she's lying. I hope what she's saying is untrue, because it'd be really disappointing if what she's saying is true and Marquette actually thought that this would be a good idea at one point. And if they're worried about
the video with her with Nick Cannon that they found, so that might be a problem.
That might be Nick's next gig. All right, let's move on.
There's still TikTok thing she called, and furthermore.
This is about an Abraham Lincoln statue. The Boston Arts Commission voted unanimously Tuesday night to remove a public monument depicting President Abraham Lincoln standing before a freed slave. The Emancipation Memorial in Park Square, a replica of the original standing in Washington, D.C., will be taken down with an art conservator to document, recommend how the bronze statue is removed, supervise its removal, and placement into temporary storage, the motion reads. As we continue our work to make Boston a more equitable and just city, it's important that we look at the stories being told by the public art in all our neighborhoods. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, who supported the statue's removal, said in a statement. Opponents of the statue voiced criticism since its installation in 1879. Walsh noted they argued not against Lincoln, but the statue's depiction of a free slave, which they described as the result of a toxic view held by slaveholders and even abolitionists. Originally designed and sculpted by a Massachusetts native, Thomas Ball, the controversial statue shows Lincoln with one hand raised above a kneeling shirtless man with broken shackles on his wrists. After engaging in a public process, it's clear that residents and visitors to Boston have been uncomfortable with the statue and its reductive representation of black man's role of the abolitionist movement. The vote came in response to an online petition that collected more than 12,000 signatures calling for the statue to be removed amid nationwide protests over the Minneapolis police killing of George Floyd. A date of the statue's removal has not been yet. See, this is kind of like a tricky one here. They're removing it and they're doing it right. The community has spoken. This isn't people tearing down a statue and vandalizing. The community has spoken. They say they don't want it there anymore. So really, whatever we say about it is kind of irrelevant, because it's not our community. That being said, we're going to have a discussion anyway. But I mean,
Great segue. We have nothing to say about
but,
that.
But I mean, really, you have to take what we're saying with a grain of salt. Now, I will say this. I understand why people look at it that way now. And it just shows, like, negatively now. It just shows how we evolve. I really don't think when that artist created that statue, it was meant to show white man greater than black man. I think it was made to praise Abraham Lincoln. That being said, none of us are black. None of us grew up in that oppression. So again, we're only qualified so far. So I will let you guys go.
Yeah, I'll take look at the on the statue, the slave. Look at the look on his face of the oppression and the horrors he faced, and emancipation. You've went through all this, and Lincoln worked out the emancipation. It shows a struggle, and then it shows a freedom on that, due to the emancipation on that. I think it details a lot, and I think to remove it, it does a disservice to it. I mean, look, if the guy was trying to link his shoes, all right, we get it. But I'm like,
Jesus Christ,
all right, he's got to go. And if instead of emancipation, it said, yes, that, Mr. Lincoln, I mean, but it shows the struggle and the freedom of that struggle and what it looked like at that time, details at that time, you know, and it needs to be shown that way and portrayed that way because that's what it was then, and that's what it was about then.
So what do you think, Pip?
The future.
Well, I know you'll be surprised. I think that, as you said, because the community no longer thinks that it's of value, that they're the people that should first be, you know, having their say. But as far as I'm concerned, I thought it was a really powerful piece, and it showed, you know, like Joe said, the look of this very strong black man being shackled, and then the shackles are off. Like, the next moment, you just picture the next moment and standing up next to Lincoln, like, I'm a man, too.
But I think that's
fully...
That's what they want, though. That's the image they want. They want the next moment. They want him next time. And I get that. But go on. I get that, too.
I'm just saying that, you know, as a work of art, I think it's very powerful because you can't imagine what the next moment is. And I get that if I were an African-American, perhaps it would still make me feel like every day I have to look at this and look at the enslavement of my ancestors, and, you know, it would make me feel bad rather than making me feel empowered. So, I mean, it's not for me to be the one to say I think that it should remain, because I'm not African American. I don't have that powerful, you know, emotional and familial tie to that sort of representation. But I do really appreciate it as a piece of work. I think it's very powerful. But that's why I think that all these statue questions should be taken on a one-by-one basis. I think that some people get frustrated because they say that people are trying to change history or push it away. But these are statues are representations of power and lauding a moment or a person. And
Wait, hold on. We got disconnected. Hold on. Stop talking. Stop. Can't hear. Stop. We just disconnected. I have to call them back. And Pip's still talking. You can't stop Pip when she starts talking. That's the problem with Pip. She don't stop fucking talking. But now I have to call them back. So please stand by.
I am going to call them now. That's what you hear. You will hear me calling them. Hopefully it will go smoothly. Hold on. Hold on. Are you both there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Pip? I'm here. All right.
Before we move on, I just want to make the final point on that. If the community feels about that way, but if you ask somebody in the community, well, what's the end game of Black Lives Matter? That statue kind of is what they're looking for.
Listen.
I think Devin was saying that what they're looking for is like a statue that perhaps had Lincoln and the slave standing on equal terms.
Yeah, I think that's what they want. Listen, and the statue is the original is still in Washington D.C. They're not destroying the statue. The people in this community just don't want it in their town. I look at it the same way as I looked at when they wanted to change the names of Jefferson and Washington School to something else. It's your community. If that's what you want to do, I'm cool with it. It doesn't affect me. I mean, I certainly wouldn't get upset about it. It's kind of interesting that in this case it's Abraham Lincoln who's under the gun and not a Confederate statue. That's why I thought it was a little different. That's why we're talking about it, but you know, whatever. I get Joe's point, but I think at the end of the day, it's their community. If they're uncomfortable with it, it's got to go, just like anything else. Yeah. You get rid of old buildings that you know, don't seem nice in the neighborhood. Now you want to have a park instead. You don't want to park anymore. Now you want a skate park. Communities change. It happens. That basically, these are all decorations within a community. It's what the community wants. You know, 50 years from now, they might take it out of mothballs and go, you know what? We want that Lincoln statue back.
Just seems like a very powerful image of a certain point in history, and now you're removing history.
Well, no, they're not. No, the history is not removed. They're removing an image which they feels does not empower them. It's not empowering. If I was a black person, I could see how that's not empowering. As white people, like, yeah, fucking A, Lincoln did the right thing. As a black person, yeah, Lincoln did the right thing. Eventually, it really wasn't his first choice, and it didn't get smoothly, and now I'm on my hands and knees, and why the hell did this happen sooner? So, yeah, Lincoln,
why don't they do this right next to that statue? Why don't they put another one up with Lincoln and the slave running like Rocky and Apollo Creed on the beach?
That'd be nice. But here's the problem with that, Joe. I feel like the top hat would fall off as Lincoln was running on the beach. So you would actually have to have like Lincoln reaching back to grab the top hat as he's running, and it's very hard to run in chains. So for the slave, so you have issues. But I take the point. What? No? No? I missed the point?
No. And somebody would insist on them having, you know, background music.
Yeah.
That would drive everybody crazy.
Yeah, but then you'd have homophobes going, yeah, look at these two guys running on the beach together. I don't like it. Tear down the statue. Yeah, you can't win. There's no pleasing people.
Where does it end? That's my whole thing with the statue. Where does it end?
And I'll tell you what, John, and this is the reason why I have never built a statue, erected a statue. This reason right here. I don't need the grief. I won't even put up a bird feeder. All right, let's move on.
Next topic, please.
Yeah, sure. Fun with...
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi, Hitler.
This story is not so newsworthy, but I think we can have fun with it. A former Miss Hitler contestant, yes, Miss Hitler contestant, from the UK who joked about gassing synagogues and using Jews' head as a soccer ball, has been sentenced to prison along with ex-partner for belonging to a terrorist group. And I just want to say, this shows how hard it is to write fucking good jokes. I mean, you think the Jew's head as a soccer ball is going to be the A material, that's your Tonight Show thing, next thing you know, you're in jail. There's no pleasing you people. And yeah, I said you people. You know what I mean. Anyway. Fuhrer femme fatale. God bless the New York Post. Fuhrer femme fatale, Alice Cutter, 23, and Mark Jones, 25, were convicted in March of belonging to the far-right group National Action, which was founded in 2013 and banned 3 years later after it celebrated the murder of Labour MP, I don't know what MP is, Joe Cox, the BBC reported. Cutter was... What?
I'm sorry.
Thank you for the interruption. Cutter received a sentence you motherfucker. Cutter received a sentence of 3 years. It's just like the nightly news, this show. Cutter received a sentence of 3 years behind bars while Jones was hit with a term of 5.5 years during appearances in Birmingham Crown Court. The residents of Salby Bridge in West Yorkshire were convicted along with neo-Nazi diehards Gary Jack, 24, and Connor Scother, 19, who faced 4.5 years and 18 months, respectively. Jurors were shown messages in which Cutter exclaimed, "Rotten hell, bitch!" after hearing of Cox's murder at the hands of far-right sympathizer Thomas Mayer, according to Sky News. Cutter, a waitress who entered the Nazi beauty... This is the good stuff right here. Cutter, a waitress who entered the Nazi beauty pageant as... Wait for it, kids. Miss Buchenwald, a reference to the World War II death camp, has... Oh, what could go wrong?
Boy, are they all in?
Gotta love it, baby.
Wow.
Has denied ever being an NA member despite attending its rallies where banners stating Hitler was right were displayed. I don't know what he was right about, but he was right. Well, he was right when he killed himself. That's when Hitler was right. Jones, a former...
I denied being an NA member. Okay, Miss Buchenwald.
Well, I didn't pay the dues, Joe. I didn't pay the dues. I was feeling it out. You know, there was hassle going on. They wanted a large payment up front. I wanted to give them installments. You know, we were negotiating.
On the fence.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I wasn't going to use a coupon because that's a Jew thing. But, you know, I wanted a better deal.
Using a coupon is a Jew thing.
Well,
oh,
if I'm Miss Buchenwald, that's what I'm saying. Jones,
yeah, I know.
Jones, a former member of the British National Party, was a leader and strategist who played a prominent and active role, the court heard, Sky News reported. Following prescription of National Action, you weren't prepared to dissociate yourselves from the vital ideology of this group and therefore defy the ban and continued as members, Judge Paul Farrer told the Four. Farrer said was a trusted confidant and one of the NA's leaders, as well as being in a committed relationship with Jones. Before sentencing public prosecutions, Chief Max Hill described the group's members as diehards who hark back to the days of not just anti-Semitism, like Nick Cannon, but the Holocaust, the Third Reich in Germany. A fifth person, Daniel Ward, 28, of Birmingham, last year pleaded guilty to being a member of the group and was sentenced to 3 years in prison.
I like the way they say they were in a committed relationship. That's right, kids. We hate Jews, but love each other.
Well, you know, they should be committed.
Sure, we have hate in our hearts, but not for each other.
My hate can't take away the love.
You know what brings us together? Jews. Our hatred of Jews. You know, we were on a dating app, and that's what we had in common. And, you know, I swiped right, and we've been together in jail ever since.
It swiped very right.
So I swiped Reich. Third Reich. Thank you. Thank you.
They swiped right.
Yes, thank you. Anyway, listen, there's so much here to unpack. I was not aware that there was a Miss Hitler contest. How would I not? After we've been doing Nazi shit for years, how do we not know this?
I don't know. I'm very disappointed.
I wonder if the goose step up and down the aisle.
Down the catwalk.
No, it's a German shepherd walk. That's what it is.
I wonder what the talent portion is. I made this lampshade. You know?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
After all the horrible shit we read.
Fair.
That's the thing.
Fair, but I don't have to do a show with them.
Miss Buchenwald. I'm not kidding.
What's your special talent? I'm excellent at following orders.
Yeah, really. I'm great at breaking glass. Want to see?
Any books to burn? I don't know the answer to your question, but I do have the final solution.
Oh, God!
He worked as a waitress. I wonder, like, if there were telltale signs. Excuse me, what are the house specials today? 9! Okay. What time does the diner close? 9!
Oh, God, never mind.
Thank you, Pip.
I can't.
Were you going to make an oven joke?
No! I was going to make a shower joke.
Joe, you don't know her at all.
Just as bad.
You don't know her at all. She wasn't going to make an oven joke. She was going to make a shower joke. What's wrong with you? Oh, my God. Horrible human beings.
Yes.
Horrible
yes.
human beings. Yeah. I
can't believe that there was a beauty pageant or any kind of pageant for Nazi broads.
I'll tell you who's not winning. The girl from Kenya. She is not winning this contest.
No. No. And I have a feeling Miss New York is not in the running either.
No, Miss New York. What are they judged on?
I can't imagine. Hatred. Yes.
I hate the best.
Like, really?
I mean, there has to be something. It has to be more than just, you know, being white and tits and ass, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that and hatred.
Well, I'm kind of wondering, is this a scholarship contest? Where do they go?
But you know how these, like, beauty pageant singers always like to sing? And you guys have heard all Nazi art. You will die, man! True time, man! She gets up there, this little petite girl, and that's her singing voice. That's what she's singing about. And you just see the oh, very good. I was moved. When she said Jews are going to die in that big husky voice, I wanted to rock out with my cock out.
I know, that would really actually be awesome, because she was a tiny little thing.
I just can't see, like, when she was announced as the winner, like, she starts crying, and the other contestants gather around and give her a big hug. You know, I just can't see the warmth behind this whole fucking thing.
This is the moment where Miss Auschwitz, last year's winner, hands over the barbed wire crown made of Jews' fillings to Miss Buchenwald.
Oh, my God!
What? Too much?
Made of Jews' fillings.
That's
oh
what they
God.
Did! That's what
and
they
you
did!
You rolled your eyes at me over lampshade. Okay, really?
I know.
More horrible than I ever am.
Listen, as Nick Cannon said, you can't be anti-Semitic when you're the Semitic people. So fuck you both. I went to Cannon's class. I learned.
Cannon's School of Comedy.
Ay. All right, yeah, so basically, we did what we're going to do with that. That was just for us to make fun of shit.
Yes, really.
Enough of the heavy stuff. So we'll come back. We'll do some scamming scammers. I know it's late, but this is what happens when the kids don't let me end segment one on time. On the break, we got new music from Nobi with Sorry. And Dream our Aria with Hourglass. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com.